We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Chiefs Red Half Hour, every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold.
All right, let's talk some Chiefs here. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Mitch Holthus was on with Fesco in the morning for his weekly visit, and he brought up something about a new requirement within the practice squad that I think he thinks will benefit the Chiefs. I think it's another way to look at the way the roster could be constructed come September the 10th when the Chiefs open up against the Texans. So we'll get to that here momentarily. But something we're going to be doing leading up to the start of the season here during the Chiefs Red Half Hour, taking a look at a couple of players and whether or not you think they're due for that big jump, whether you think they're going to have that flat type of season, or maybe they take a step back heading into the 2020 season. So the two guys involved this week, Mecole Hardman and Tano Passanio, are they staying the same? They taking the jump? Where are they going? Let us know what you guys think as well on the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line, 913-576-7610. So I'll start with Passanio, and I'll go defense to start with him. I think for me, I'm going to go ahead and say it's just to stay the same or fall back, but I'll go with stay the same. I don't see a scenario where he takes a jump, because I was impressed with what he did under Spags' defense last year, and it fits him. It's a Spags type of guy, you would imagine, going forward as well. My only issue with expecting more, one, I think he already took that big jump last year. The other problem is...
He did take a jump last year, whether you call it a big or
sure,
a little jump.
Okay, sure. He took a jump. The issue would be... Where does that come from, and does he get the opportunity again? Because they go out and get Taco Charlton... I'm not really concerned as much about Breland Speak if I'm passing you, but still, you've got Okafor involved. You also, the biggest thing to me is what Taco Charlton may or may not bring to the table. I don't see a scenario where he takes a jump. Last year was a jump for Passanio. Why would I believe that he can take another jump this year? I just don't think he has the opportunity to do so. And I don't think he has much of he's one of the guys like next year will probably not be on the roster because they're not going to be able to, he'll get paid somewhere else.
I think he has the talent to do so. Because the reason I think he took that jump last year, and jump does not mean like he became the most important player on the Chiefs defense, but Tano Passanio saw a serious increase in his productiveness last year. Like, seriously. And the reason why I would think it's possible again this year is because I think for the first time ever, he looked good in a Spags defense. Had four sacks, had 22 tackles, despite not playing a ton, right? He wasn't out on the field all the time. But the reason why I don't think he's going to get worse. Like, I think he's found probably a good home as a role player. I don't think he takes a step back. But the point you've made is, how can he get better if there's incredible...
Where are the reps coming from?
Yeah, if there's incredible depth at the defensive line. The reason why he'll still look okay is because Chris Jones and Frank Clark are going to do some heavy lifting for you, and all the other guys in the offensive line like Mike Pinnell and Taco Charlton that they will rotate out, and they have free agency dollars, so I wouldn't even put it past them adding even more depth at different positions. Not necessarily defensive line, although we do joke about Jadeveon Clowney. There's a lot of different options for them across the board. It's hard to see how he takes the step forward, but I don't think he falls back. I think Tano has found a good role in this defense, which means I think he's a pretty similar player to what you got last year out of him.
Over on the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line, 913-576-7610. Unfortunately, this from the 816, I feel like K-Pass will stay the same, not explosive enough to really get out of the quarterback, not fast enough to hang with running backs and pass coverage. I think Mecole Hardman will be about the same as well. That from the 816. I think it's just reps for Passanio. And I think he actually is someone that will get paid pretty decently next offseason somewhere else.
Might be like a 2 for 12 or something.
Yeah.
I think that he can get like an Emmanuel Ogba type of contract if he hits free agency, and that was a 2-year $15 million deal. Yep. I think Tano Pazniok is the exact same type of player, really physically gifted guy who's not an incredible player, but he's a solid rotational player who can make plays for you.
Got 4 sacks, productive enough considering his limited number of time, but you don't see him getting better, Serta.
No, there's just too much depth for him to get like significant snaps because he's not Chris Jones, he's not Frank Clark, like he's not going to make this all of a sudden this like dominant turn in his playing career. And yeah, I'm interested in Taco Charlton. Alex Okafor was very good last year when he played. Mike Pinnell is going to be a significant part of that defensive line. I like Tano a lot. I just don't see where he's going to get the opportunity.
That seems to be the biggest,
barring serious injury for sure, other members of the defensive line.
That would always have, you know, that could come into play and could always alter this a little bit. So take a jump, stay the same, or fall back. What about Mecole Hardman at the wide receiver spot? And you know, we've seen this offseason, clearly he's made it, you know, he has focused even more so on specifics in his game heading into this year, another year under his belt, another offseason, I should say, under his belt. Even if it's been a weird one, he still, as we know, had an opportunity to work with Patrick Mahomes a little bit more this offseason, clearly trying to get stronger as well. I don't want to say the same thing as Pascal, but there is part of me that's like, okay,
where's
he getting the reps as well? I think he actually takes a jump, but it's maybe not in production. I just said, what do you mean? How can he take a jump if it's not production? But I just think there might be some noticeable differences in his game, both as a route runner and even just physically, that you can say, oh, he's taking a jump. I don't know if necessarily we're going to say that he's going to have 400 more yards receiving this year or something like that. But I could see him taking a jump just physically, and where you think, okay, he took a jump. I feel a lot better about even what the next season could bring when Sammy Watkins or whatever may not be around, and where he truly becomes your number two wide receiver.
I think he can make a jump, but the only way he can make that is if his statistics improve. And not like those two things go hand in hand. I think that's how we'll know he made that jump. It was Mitch Holtish yesterday, and he was on the show again with Fesco in the morning, and you can catch that up at 610sports.com. He was pointing out all the things, right? He only had 9 total targets in the last half of last year and still had 6 catches for 164 yards and 2 touchdowns. His 2 biggest production games came when Tyreek Hill was down, right? Not surprising. Some of his early season production came when another guy was out. The reason why I think he'll get more targets is if he's actually made the jump you're talking about, he becomes a better route runner. He becomes more of a weapon they can rely on inside of the passing game. So he doesn't become this, you know, one trick pony who runs down the field. Is if he has developed in those ways, then he should be taking snaps from some from Sammy Watkins, but a lot from DeMarcus Robinson. DeMarcus Robinson got a ton of snaps for this team last year. More than you probably remember. As in like 75% of the team's total offensive snaps. And despite Mecole Hardman getting a quarter of that, you know, like not a quarter of that, but significantly less than DeMarcus Robinson, he had equal production. DeMarcus Robinson had 75% of the snaps and like 400 and 500, you know, like between 400 and 500 yards and a few touchdowns. Mecole Hardman, right? Like 500-yard wide receiver with barely any snaps on the field last year. He's far more productive than DeMarcus Robinson right now, but they put Robinson on the field more because they trusted him more. So if he takes that leap you're talking about where like he's better at those little things, his production will increase with it just because he is more talented, will get more snaps, will get more yards.
And DeMarcus Robinson got 55 targets last year. Mecole Hardman ended up with 41 targets. Yeah, in the 20s as far as receptions go. So those are the two.
14 less targets. He was on the field way more. And by the way, I just want you to know what kind of damage Mecole Hardman can do with 14 more targets.
Well, but I will say that when he was on the field, I think they were drawing up things specifically for him. Just, all right, just get him open downfield, 70-yard touchdown. And it's because he's that type of explosive, whereas DeMarcus Robinson's not really that kind of player. I just don't see a world where, like, I think he could go get 700 receiving yards this year, which would be an improvement, but I just don't see how he's going to have the opportunity to take, like, a giant leap forward where he's, like, an 1,100-yard wide receiver, because he's going to take snaps from DeMarcus Robinson. He's not taking snaps from Sammy.
I don't think he is either. I think they like too much what Sammy does day in and day out on a consistency basis. to do that. And it doesn't have to be. I didn't say giant, you know, like the game, the name of the game is.
You're not saying he's becoming a top 10 wide receiver.
Stay the same or fall back.
Or something.
There's
yeah.
no,
yeah.
like, yeah. I would put a chance that Tano Passanio falls back. I don't think it's going to happen. I think he stays the same. But at least for me with Mecole Hardman, the only two choices to come from here are he is exactly the same type of player or he takes a step forward. Because it's hard to imagine in what, and wide receivers do take steps back from rookie years to sophomore years. It happened with Sammy Watkins. It's happened with other guys in their career where the first couple of years, they're higher productive wise. They get focused on more and not do it. But with Mecole Hardman, he's never, like, it's going to take a long time for Mecole Hardman to be the people that defenses focus on first. Because they got to deal with Kelce and Hill first. And hell, they might have to deal with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, too, to go with it.
And when Mahomes is involved in the picture along with Andy Reid, it's hard to imagine somebody offensively taking a true step back from a year ago. This was really interesting for Mitch Holtis this morning on Fesco in the Morning. He brought up some of the new practice squad requirements, and I think this can benefit the Chiefs in a big way.
Well, and I don't have to cut him because you're going, man, we got to make a tough decision, right? The 11th-hour decision.
Do you keep
Tucker Charlton? No, we can keep him. Put him on practice squad. Make him one of the four veteran designations that nobody can snatch him, and we'll see what happens next week or the next week or the next week. If you're a young team, it becomes, you know, it's still a developmental thing, and the Chiefs will still use it as developmental. But for a veteran team that has a lot of talent, the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Saints, the 49ers, it becomes a way of parking a guy and not risking losing him.
I thought that's really, really interesting when I heard that driving in this morning when he was on with Fesco and the guys there, because the practice squad, typically, we've always known it to be just, okay, you have a bunch of young developmental guys, and once you're a veteran, you can't be placed on the practice squad. But because of the new changes, CBA, and also, I don't know if COVID's playing a role in this or not, but and everything, right? COVID's playing a role in everything. So sure, I'll go ahead and say it's because of COVID. And six players now that are veterans can be on your practice squad. And then, as Mitch pointed out there, four of them can be, like, locked into you. Nobody can steal them from your practice squad. So essentially, roster-wise, the Chiefs, where they have some depth in certain areas, and specifically whether it's Taco Charlton or we're talking about guys that might be fringe cuts, Charlton, Breland Speaks, whoever it may be, those guys, I'm like, there's no way they're cutting them now if they were even ever considering it, Cody, because now you're going to look
would you
at
cut
it,
Breland Speaks if you
why
can technically
you,
just stick them on the
could
practice
just
squad?
You stick them there
him?
And you call them up whenever needed. There's veterans. You can have them on there all season. And you can have them as both of them as one of your four guys if there's not a spot for them. And not even just those two. It can be anybody. It can be wide receivers if further down the depth chart. No matter what it may be, they don't have to qualify as, you know, what first or second year players, whatever the specific practice squad requirements are. I think it's a big boost for Kansas City and also trying to keep some more depth on that team on the defensive line, even so, where they already have a lot of it.
They don't have a ton of depth in other positions. So it's perfect for that, and it's perfect for wide receiver. Like, if you want to hold on to Byron Pringle forever, Byron Pringle's one of your four. And Byron Pringle had a 100-yard game when they were down and out and didn't have a lot of other wide receivers.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he did his job when called upon. But it's really just for, like, I can almost tell you the guys now who are at risk of being put on those things. And it's probably an offensive lineman, a guy they want to protect because they're weak at that position and they're going to want to hold on to numbers. It is it's one to two defensive linemen. Taco, who people think could get cut. Breland, who people think could get cut. Those guys are on the list. And then it's Byron Pringle. So it's like you can kind of already pick where those guys are coming from.
It's a big benefit to have.
But that's a benefit across the league. The question is, does it benefit the Chiefs more than it benefits others? And at least defensive line-wise, it could, because you weren't sure what you were going to do with, like, where Taco was going to land on this thing. Or even where a guy was going to.
See, I think it does, because if you are a team that does have some veterans and you're able to, you're not trying to keep it as a true developmental practice squad.
The veteran contract is where you benefit. Like, because the Chiefs obviously went for some cheap veteran contract and still can. Like, this is where I might explore, I can keep a cheap veteran who doesn't have to necessarily be on that, can't still be on the practice squad, but can't be let go for me even if I'm deep at that position. That, to me, makes more sense. And it makes it less scary to go after somebody in an already deep position, because then you can still hold on to that player as well. But there are a lot of teams who are going to take advantage of this because, you know, they're going to want to hold on to those players anyway. So Kansas City has helped in one position. I think it helps them from having to make some difficult decisions, but it's going to help a lot of teams with that, which means maybe even the waiver pool's a little thinner because, you know, there's plenty of sniping off of people's practice squads and waiver pool that people target. How do you make that work going forward? It's a little more difficult.
If it's the difference being able to keep Taco Charlton or make your decision another year, wait another year on development for Braylon Speaks, whatever it may be, then I think it's a nice benefit for the Chiefs to have. Interesting there, Mitch Holthus on with Fesco in the morning. We know the Chiefs have some money between the opt-outs and also that restructure for Alex Okafor, and he was part of our conversation we were just having a second ago. But now they're around, what, $15 million or so, Cody? So how should they spend it? How should they spend that money?
Well, when you guys were gone, Pete and I did a little choose your own adventure, if you read those comics when you were a kid. So I'm going to give you a couple of different ways to spend the money instead of just the one. How does that sound?
Let's do it.
All right, hand me some music, Serta. See, look, it sounds very... Can't you imagine like being like an 8-bit video game and being Zelda going down the path right now?
It's definitely retro video game.
Three choices for you in the text line, 913-576-7610, the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line. Then I will give you a choice to spend your money, and then I would like you to choose the path you would like to do it. Number one, you just get Jadeveon Clowney. That's it. That's the path. That's the option. That's your adventure. You get to build one of the best defensive lines in all of football, similar, as Serta said, to the 49ers defensive line last year. Two, you can sign Everson Griffin and Aqib Talib for a little cornerback depth. So those are your two choices. And one final option in your adventure choosing, Devonta Freeman and Logan Ryan, the better available cornerback instead of Aqib Talib based on normal rankings outside the system. You can choose your money a number of ways. You would not choose to keep your money. Those are your three adventure options.
Say,
which way would you like to go?
Can I go first?
Go
you
forward.
Guys can't take the path that I choose.
Okay, let me hear
it's
it.
Yours.
Okay.
I take Everson Griffin and Aqib Talib.
Why?
Because Everson Griffin's still very good. Aqib Talib, I know, was injured at the end of last season. But prior to his injury, he was still playing at a very solid level for a player his age. They're both affordable. You can get them both on one-year deals and walk after the season. Perfect compliments for what the Chiefs need.
So I like the two-for-one type of scenario. Those are very tempting. You guys know where I you're right. We can't choose it. I would prefer just to roll over the money. But if I'm going to have to spend the money, go big or go
it's
home.
It's adventure. We don't
go big or go home. It's the option number one. It's Jadeveon Clowney in this scenario. If I'm forced to spend the money, I'm going with Clowney for the reasons we've discussed quite a bit, which is this defensive line all of a sudden just is nasty. Nasty. Clowney in the mix. You get some more depth just in case somebody gets hurt. Then you're like, okay, we're going to be all right through this. And if they're all healthy all season long, this defense, you thought I'm crazy for talking top five, you won't call me crazy anymore at that point in time if they got Clowney as part of the picture. So if I have to spend the money, I'm choosing that adventurous route for Clowney. And it's good for Clowney too. He goes to a contender. He might win the ring. He gets to have another double-digit sack season. Goes and gets paid big time the following year. It's a win-win for everybody.
I think the real dud storyline in this combo is the Devonta Freeman Logan Ryan route. While they definitely get bet at corner, and Serta, it's another like 1 year deal. You're not going to be on the hook for a long time for him situation. And so is Devonta Freeman. I don't think they need another running back. I don't hate that they could use another corner.
He's also not good.
No, but you know,
you don't need a running back at all.
Well, I didn't want to put Drake Kirkpatrick, who you also don't like. And I just don't, like, I don't see the need for running back. While I see a need for corner, I'd rather just be stacked the defensive line. Everson Griffin gives me more of that to go with an older guy and Aqib Talib. But if I were choosing my adventure, I'd probably choose the same one as you. I'm going Jadeveon. I mean, I want elite players on elite defenses, and it sounds like he could be had for a one-year deal to go with it. So why wouldn't I like that, I guess?
Yeah, option one
something
is
something about
strong.
Just being great at one position that makes the rest of your defense look so much better. To me, that's the obvious factor into that scenario. That's why I would be pretty tempted to go the Jadeveon Clowney route if I were going to choose my own adventure.
Yeah, I mean, if I was able to still choose two, I do like that, Serta, because you're knocking out two of them right there. You're getting your cornerback position some more depth, wondering what's going to happen with Bashaud Breeland as well, and you're addressing the defensive line there as well with Griffin. So, like, that's probably the most... I think that's the smartest way to spend your money because you're getting two. Clowney, though, you're talking about right away, just the impact. Like, he was very motivated in this scenario as well. Option three. No, I like Logan Ryan, but no, we don't need Devonta Freeman in this picture.
Did you re-choose your own adventure books when you were a kid, Serta?
I'm sure I read a couple of them. I don't think I was heavily into them. There's a lot, people are making a lot of TV shows like that now.
Well, you get to choose the ending?
Yeah. you have, there's several, they shoot several different scenarios, and throughout the series, you get to pick where you want to go.
Oh, God! I'm not prepared for that. I just need you to tell me which way it ends.
Yeah, they did it on Black Mirror, and I think that there was another show they filmed a whole season like that.
Little Chiefs, choose your own adventure instead.
Over on the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beard text line, 913-576-7610. Give me Everson Griffin. He's better than Clowney. A lot of that on the text line. Griffin over Clowney. Clowney is a clown. A lot of people not a fan of the Clowney decision there. Someone else says, Rock Chalk bring to leave home.
Everson Griffin is going to be 33 years old, so it's not like he's young.
20.
But he's that Terrell Suggs type of veteran who's just going to come in and produce.
So it says, am I the only one not sold on Clowney? I mean, there's a legit reason he's still unemployed with the season starting in less than 30 days. Well, remember, he does have some offers.
He
has a couple offers. He doesn't want. Can you blame him? It's Cleveland and it's Miami. For more money.
Both up-and-coming teams.
Uh-huh.
Both I still like
not on teams. One-year deals. Those would be multi-year offers, but...
You know, something this year.
Yeah. I don't know. Clowney. Option one. Option two is very intriguing, though.
Tempting. Option two is very tempting. I can't believe you didn't go with the Jayhawk. Right in front of you.
Did you not hear what Serta said? He said, I'm going first if nobody else takes it. I may or may not have been selecting that initially.
We can't all choose the same adventure.
We didn't talk before this. I had no idea what he was going to pick. I was probably going to go with two initially. He went with two. I'm fine with one.
I'm not getting stuck with Logan.
Nobody wants three. Nobody wants
option
three.
We're just going to share the adventure if that's the case.
Take the fourth option, Dre Kirkpatrick.
And the fifth option is roll over the money. Roll it over. Roll
that's
it
too
over.
Many adventures.
The Texans is why not keep the money? I know. That's where I would be, but that wasn't an
option. To choose your adventure.
No, it wasn't.
And what's the point?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, what's the point? The cap goes down. You roll it over. You save some money. You may be able to take care of Kelsey as well.
I need to win World Series or Super Bowls. Yeah,
you can just unload all those one-year contracts next year, and that'll free up cap space anyway.
Sweet.
I don't know if it's going to free up enough.
You're only rolling over $12 million.
Last minute. Hard Knocks premieres tonight. It's going to be tonight at 9 p.m. on HBO.
Give me some Hard Knocks.
Both of the LA teams. I don't like Hard Knocks anymore. I feel like it's gone really downhill. I feel like they are heavily supervised at what they can air and what they can't. I don't know how it's going to work this season, and I'm more curious than ever because I haven't gotten my training camp fix that I usually get by going up to St. Joe and doing stuff like that. So I'm actually curious to see how they're doing this.
Yeah, how do they do the split? Like, is it half the show is Rams, half the show is Chargers, or does it cut from Sean McVay and the next scene, all of a sudden it's Anthony Lynn and the Chargers? How are they going to do that? But it is kind of that first sign of, hey, football season is here, and we don't have the preseason, so I am fired up for this. I'll be watching that live tonight. If not, you can always catch, like, I think HBO puts it up after. If you have this is one of those other conversations. You need the login from somebody. You need, or you just know Serta, one of the two.
Yeah, whatever gets the job done. I mean, I kind of like, sorry, I just kind of written it off in years past. Last year, when they had all that juicy material,
I know.
They kept showing me, like,
it's still fun
like two
to
years
see
ago,
behind
they
the
had
scenes,
some
man.
Of the Browns, and I just kept getting David Kajuice stories. I don't care about those.
There was episodes last year where I just fast-forwarded through half of it.
It was not their best season, but I still like seeing some of the behind-the-scenes stuff. There's some funny moments. You kind of get to know the coaches a little bit more.
Stuff can interest me too. We'll see.
Yeah, how is that approached in these Hard Knocks? What's cut from it? Is that going to be the number one focus of tonight's episode? Probably good guess that would be.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us, and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.